Hallelujah. As Brother William was announcing, I thought that he was preaching. Because as Paul told the Philippians, he said they were from many denominations, from many cultural norms, values, and behavior. And his purpose was to unify the church. I pray that God will unify us, even though we are coming from many countries, different background, different culture. He will unify us in love, in peace, and in harmony, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Somebody shout amen. If you happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you happy and you know it, and you really want to show it, if you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your feet. If you're happy and you know it, clap your feet. If you're happy and you know it, and you really want to show it, if you're happy and you know it, shout amen. Glory. Shall we stand for the reading of the word? Because we are happy and we know it. Amen? And today, I shall be reading from the epistles of Paul, the apostles, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And I read, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Somebody say, be your brother's keeper. Be your sister keeper. And I continue. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross in Jesus' name. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above any other name, that at the shout of Jesus, every knee shall bow, those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth, and every knee shall confess, every tongue shall confess, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen, amen, amen. I think I have already preached my sermon. Because he said every knee, he said every every knee at the shout of the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and below the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord forever and forever. Amen, amen, amen. Glory be to God that sent his only begotten Son so that mankind's sin can be forgiven. He said, Moses, I have given you the law, but the one that I'm sending, his name is Jesus Christ. He shall bring grace and truth. May grace and truth prevail upon our life in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, oh God, that you give us receptive ears. Father, strengthen our heart, our mind, and our soul. As you said in your word, oh my Lord and my Father, as you told prophet Ezekiel, you said, my Lord and my Israel, come in a still voice. Father, let that voice come, my Lord and my Father. Let it prevail upon this congregation so that there will be a renewness of mind, body, and soul at the song of your voice, my Lord and my Father. Holy Spirit, take control in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you, oh Lord of my Father. We are told prophet Isaiah, you say your word shall comfort and it shall not return void, but it shall fulfill the purpose in which it was sent, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, cross us, my Lord of my Father. Deliver us, oh God. My Lord of my Father, let your presence be felt in this place, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all of God's saints say amen, amen, amen. And as you take your seat, tell somebody there is joy in serving the Lord. There is joy in serving the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall be rejoiced and be glad in it, because we have served the Lord, thy God, in true fellowship. My God and my Father. Father, we thank you. We give you glory, we give you praise. According to Apostle Paul, he said the church in Philly is a reflection, and there was a great divide with the people because they were from various backgrounds, they were various walks of life. With so many various backgrounds, many people coming from various walks of life, you could imagine what was happening in Philadelphia. But Paul said that unity must have been very difficult to maintain. He said, but the unity of the church had to be safeguarded. If the church is to exist, the wrath of the people, the unity of the church had to be safeguarded. Paul encouraged us to guard against any selfishness, prejudice, or jealousy that might lead to destruction. He said, show genuine interest in others, in a positive step forward in maintaining the unity among believers. Many Christians live only to make a good impression on others or to please themselves only. You must have heard about the term, as the English people would normally say, it is about me, myself, and I. That is the selfishness that Paul is talking about. It is never about me. It is never about myself. And it is never about I. But it is about us, in Jesus' mighty name. But selfish ambition, according to Apostle Paul, he said, is a vain contrite, and that bring discord in the body of Christ. Apostle Paul stressed spiritual unity. asking the Philippians to love one another and be in one spirit and purpose. In Jesus' mighty name. He said, love one another as Christ loved the church, in unity and in one purpose. When we work together, caring for the problems of others as if they were our problem, we demonstrate Christ-like attitude, his behavior, and his humility in Jesus' mighty name. Don't be so concerned about making a good impression or meeting your own need through your strained relationship with God. It is not about me. It is not about myself. It is not about I, but it is about we. And that is the unity in spirit in which Apostle Paul spoke about. But do we have that intimate Christ humility? And that is the topic of this morning. The topic is imitating Christ's humility. And in going through the book of Philippians, I should basically touch on three aspects. One thing I noted in this church is that if you want to preach and preach effectively, you focus on three aspects. I don't know if it is on the third day, but that number three is a number of significance. Because on the third day, we have seen there was a resurrection. On the first day, we see what happened. On the second day, we see what happened. And no, you would not find many pastors talking about on the second day what was happening in the grave. But we know that he arise. We know that he conquer. And on the third day, we know that there was a great resurrection. So I would keep to three promises. Three key points in the book of Philippians. The first point that I want to illustrate with you is being humble. We understand the need to be humble. Being humble involves having a true perspective of ourselves. And we can see in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And we know what are the measure of faith that God has given us. Before God, we were sinners. Saved only by God's grace. But we are saved and therefore we have great work in God's kingdom. And I was reading one night in the book of Matthew, I think it's chapter 4. And I read about the kingdom of God. And I deciphered there were two kingdoms. God said that there is one kingdom. But Satan said there are more than one kingdom of God. For the matter of fact, he said, worship me and I shall show you the kingdoms that is plural of God that is plural. But God, he said, Jesus Christ, there is only one God. There is only one kingdom that we shall worship and that we shall praise his name to the glory of God in Jesus' mighty name. We are told to lay aside selfishness and treat others with respect and common courtesy. Don't be boastful. Don't be pompous. Humble yourself. Consider others' interests as a more important than our own. Link us with Christ, who was a true example of humility. Jesus Christ was humble. willing to give up his rights in order to obey God and serve his people. For he said, I come to serve and not to service. Like Christ, we should have a service attitude, serving out of love for God and for others, not out of a fear of guilt or fear. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, tells us of Christ's attitude of servanthood. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In Jesus' mighty name, he gave his life as a ransom so that all sinners can have life and live it more abundantly. King Solomon asked God to make provision for the people when they had sinned. And God's second appearance to King Solomon, he answered him in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And we have heard it this morning. He said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then I shall hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal the land. We see this is a prayer that God had given King Solomon, when the people has sinned. I can tell you today that that prayer is still valid. That prayer still works. If you want your land to be healed, humble yourself. Seek the face of God. Turn from your wicked ways, and he shall bless you. He shall heal the land. Glory to his name, in Jesus' mighty name. When you humble yourself, God shall exalt you. We heard from the choir, oh, God shall exalt you. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. When you read the apostles' chronology of death on the cross, it is death by asphyxiation. It is death not by when the blood has risen, the blood has flown through the vein, but it's the breath that when the neck fell either backward or forward and there is no life, that is the death that was on the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the excruciating pain and punishment that he died for our sins and that we can have life and live it more abundantly. To those who believe in Christ Jesus, and all of God praise their name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my God and my Father, for sending your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have life and live it more abundantly, to the glory of your name, in Jesus' name. Be humble, polite, and do the will of God. The second point is true humility. Call to humility is a recognition that everything we have is a gift from God. And understand that true humility is not about denigration. It's about accurate self-assessment, recognizing our worth in God's eyes and acknowledging our dependence on him for every breath and for every accomplishment. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, We all know, he said, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path, or he shall make your path straight. So when there seems to be no way, I can tell you, once you serve the Lord in true humility, he can make a way for you. Where there seems to be way for you, he said, what is impossible to God your Father, who is sitting on the throne, interceding for me and you, so all the impossibility shall become possible in Jesus' mighty name. The truth is captured in James chapter 4, verse 10. He said, humble yourself in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. God opposes the proud, but show favor to the humble in Jesus' mighty name. And we know the story of Esther. She said, Lord, favor me one more time. I pray that the Lord thy God shall favor you in Jesus' mighty name. As we have seen, he said, my Lord and my Father, thank you. He shall favor you. He shall deliver you. He shall remember you. Abraham said, Lord, remember me and deliver Lot. He said, Abraham, I shall remember you. Samson said, remember me, Lord, one more time and strengthen me. He said, Samson, I shall remember you and strengthen you. May the Lord remember us in Jesus' mighty name. He shall remember you. He shall favor you. He shall bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Combating the pride of life by serving other like Jesus, who came not to serve, but to serve. The pride of life, the loss of the eye, and the loss of the flesh can cause our destruction. But we need to combat that pride of life. Without ceasing to be God, he became a human being. Being called Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he did not give up his dignity to become human, but he set aside the right to his glory and power in submission to the Father's will. Christ limited his power and knowledge. Jesus of Nazareth was subject to place, to time, and to space. What made his humility unique was his freedom from sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the kingdom of God. But that sinner was crucified. He died and he resurrected so that you would no longer be in sin in Jesus' mighty name. The third point is that we must cultivate a heart of service. A heart of service. Service shifts the focus from us to the need to other. Cultivating a heart of humility and compassion. To practice humility, we also find freedom from the resentfulness, pressure to prove ourselves, that we can resist our own identity, and as children of God that value the love not for what we do, but for what we've done and to who we are in Christ Jesus. And it was put in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30. He said, come to me, all who are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. He said, my yoke is upon you, and learn from me. He said, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How much more can we ask of Jesus Christ? How much more can we ask of Jesus Christ? And I conclude, to be like Christ, we must train ourselves to think like Christ. I have this DMS, the Director of Mission Support. And whenever sometime I go to him with a problem, he would say, do you love Jesus? I said, yes. Then the next question, he said, think of what Christ Jesus would have done. Immediately, it humbles me. Think. And to my other fellow brothers and sisters who were from MONUSCO, they know who I'm talking about. And he's a Muslim. But he said, think what Christ would have done in that situation. And that humbled me. And in my way of thinking and making decision, I always remember, think what Christ would have done in such a situation. To change our desire to be more like Christ, we need the power of the indwelling spirit. That spirit that Apostle Paul spoke about that unifies us in one body, mind, and soul. To influence faithful Christians, obedience to God's word, and sacrificial service. Often, it is doing God's will than doing our own will. And we have heard on the cross, Jesus, he said, if it is your will, let it be done in Jesus' mighty name. Life, live life. There is pleasing, there is plenty of joy. To please God with a humble, contrite, and in true humility. And we shall exalt his holy name on high. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the favor and to the welfare and to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. May God bless you.